Blog Talk Radio.
When they're not. They're not vital to who we are. They never have been. They never will be. So when it comes to race, when it comes to recognizing ourselves, then we get to choose. We really do. It's not... it's not something that is predetermined. And just so you know, the first few minutes of the show were silent because my phone was on mute and I forgot that it was on mute. Okay. So back again to race. As I said before, you choose what race you are going to be before you are born. You know, just like everything else in your life. None of this is imposed upon you. You get to be the one to make the choice. You get to be the one who says, okay, I've never been this particular race before. Let me experience it. Let me see what it's like. Let me see what kind of things come with this. And there are different aspects of existence that come with different races, depending on the part of the world you're born into and the race you are. There are a lot of societal restraints, restrictions, beliefs that are a part of that. And it's not that there's any one race better than any others, because there isn't, because it's... race is just one of those temporary aspects of your life. It's not really important. And I know that for some people, they're like, oh, this is so important that I was born this particular race. You know, I'm one of God's chosen, or whatever they've been taught to believe about who they are. But frankly, God is everywhere within each and every one of us. There is no place where God is not. So everyone, everything is God's chosen, because God is a part of it. So we make up all of these stories about what's right and what's wrong, what's good and what's bad. And they are stories that we make up, because again, from the perspective of God, there is no right or wrong. There is no good or bad. Things just are. It's like that whole aspect of pure love. Pure love doesn't look for what's wrong, because there's nothing wrong. which means there's nothing right, which means it just is. So the race that you have chosen to be in this lifetime is simply a part of your learning. There are some things that is easier for you to learn by being a particular race. And there are different people who handle different races in different ways. Everyone who is born in a particular race does not behave the same way. They don't. Now, depending on the race and where you happen to live, you can find a lot of people who do actually tend to live the same way for the most part. But even in those situations, let's say you were born in the middle of China and you were Chinese. Well, yeah, you're going to have a lot in common with all of the people that you interact with, but there are still going to be some people who, even though they are Chinese, they are going to act differently. They are not going to follow the same beliefs. They are not going to want to be the same religion. They are not going to want to grow up to be what their parents were or to have someone else dictate who they become. Because we each have the right to choose, no matter where we were born, no matter what race we are. And, of course, you have all of those wonderful racial prejudices that say that because you are this race, you can only date people of this race, you can only marry someone of this race, you can only have children who have this race, you must keep the race pure. Which is an interesting concept in and of itself, since supposedly we all came from Adam and Eve, which were two people, and every person on this planet is a descendant of those two people. So how can things not be pure? Because you only started with those two people. So no matter what you look like, if you follow the family tree back to its first couple of people, everybody's family tree would go back to those two people. So why is it a big deal that, you know, these people went off and their skin turned brown, these people went off, their skin turned yellow, these people went off and their skin turned white, and these people stayed there and their skin is a nice little beige. You know, we act like this is so important, but it all comes back to those same two people. So what difference does it make? But if you have a question about race or anything else, you can call in at 646-716-5045. You don't have to stick to the topic if you have a question. And if you're in the chat room and you've logged in and you have a question, feel free to type it, and I'll be sure and check in and answer it. Okay, we have a caller from area code 571. Hi, who's this?
Hi, this is Vicki calling from Virginia. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Thanks for taking my call. Actually, I wasn't calling in to talk about race, but I think it's a very interesting topic. It's such an ingrained part of our society these days, and not sure why. And, you know, for me, I thought we were getting away from it, but it seems to be on the forefront.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, things come up so that we can be aware of them and we can decide how we feel about it. We can make our choices. And that's why things come up. That's why all of the things that come up come up. It's so that we can actually see something and make a choice. We can decide whether or not we want to make something important or if we're ready to let it go.
But why
so it's
do
just
you
opportunities.
Think... Right, but why is it, I think, for me, and again, I can only speak for me, it's always been there, but it seems like it was the elephant in the room. And now I think a lot of society is kind of take the mask off, and it's like, okay, here it is. What are you going to do about it?
Well, you know, there's all this incredible new energy that's coming into our universe at this time, and it's shaking things up. It's bringing about a lot of change. And so the things that have been there but been kind of under the cover, you know, you just don't talk about it. You walk around that elephant. Yeah. And now it's like the elephant is standing up and shaking off and going over and slapping people with his trunk. And it's like, pay attention to me, you know. Don't ignore me anymore. Because this is part of our evolution. This is part of our awakening. In order for us to come back to a place where we unconditionally love ourselves, to be willing to see ourselves, we have to be willing to let go of those biases, the racism, the prejudice, whatever it is that we've been hiding and pretending, okay, this isn't me, I don't really feel that way, just, you know, keep those people over there. Because, frankly, they'll be happier over there. We have these beliefs, but we don't want to look at them. So to live a life of unconditional love, we have to become unconditionally loving, which means none of those things have to be important.
Okay, but like I said, I wasn't calling it, and it's a very interesting topic, so I'm glad I call it. Even though
what is it that you did want to ask about? Or,
well, I don't know. I think this is my first time listening to your show, and I myself is going through a transition as far as career, so I was just calling in to see, you know, exactly what you're picking up.
Okay.
At the moment, I am not working, so I am seeking employment as we speak.
So what is it that you are looking for in your life right now?
Well, I am looking to, I want to make a difference. That's why, you know, I went back to school, and it was hard, but I did it. Something to do with human services, you know, whether it's social work. And in order for me to do the social work, I know I need additional papers, which is fine, and I have that plan, hopefully, for next year. In the meantime, I need to work. So just trying to find something that can lead me into what I'm trying to pursue.
So when you talk about making a difference, what does that look like to you?
If I can impact, I want to work, to be honest, I would love to work with children's services. And if I can just touch one child's life where, you know, they may encounter some family difficulties, whatever that is, and I can impact them to say, okay, this doesn't define who I am. I know that I can rise above this and do big and greater things. So I don't know how else to kind of sum it up at the moment, but that's where I'm at.
Okay, that makes complete and total sense to me. So are you looking to work with inside of the current structure, you know, the state system or the federal system or whatever?
I would love to. I went to a job fair last week. I kind of hand, you know, my resume, kind of give it out there, and have my attention board, and then I kind of give it, I'm giving it all to the universe. Yes, I would love to.
How would you feel about working for something that is outside of the norm, like a, I don't know, for some reason the word Montessori school is coming up for me. One of those organizations that wants to make a difference in the lives of people, in the lives of children, but they don't want to do it in the traditional way because they don't want the restrictions that the government places on what you can and cannot do.
Right.
You know, it's kind of like what I do would not be approved in state or government facilities because it's not, I guess it's, there's not all the scientific proof and all of that other stuff that they require, which means that the state and government is usually 10 to 20 years behind someone who's working outside of the establishment. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
So I'm getting that your guidance wants you to look outside of the establishment, to look at some place that actually is using more innovative means of teaching children their value, teaching them to love and honor themselves, teaching them to appreciate their own individuality as well as their connection with the whole. Because that is really what most kids want. That's what they need. They want to be recognized for who they are. They don't want to be taught to conform. And that's what most schools do. They teach them to conform. And that doesn't really feel good.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I never thought I've thought about teaching as being a substitute teacher. I've thought about that. But now you just gave me another area to look into, so thank you. Appreciate that.
Well, your guidance is, and they keep telling me all this stuff. That's why I'm telling you. This isn't coming from me, in case you're wondering. This is kind of what you're here for. You're here to do things that are outside of the norm.
Well, I don't think like the norm, but I can see that. I can see that. Yeah, my views are very much unorthodox, trust me. So I can see that.
That's wonderful because you have this beautiful heart that you're showing me. You have this beautiful, open, glowing heart that wants to embrace these kids, that wants to give them the freedom to be who they are, which means that they get to grow up and be even more incredible than they could possibly ever be if they conformed.
Right.
It takes us years and years to get out of that garbage that we get taught when we are taught to conform. And nowadays, children are born with this beautiful, incredible energy about them. And they need to be recognized for the wisdom that they already have in their hearts instead of being seen as these stupid little things that we have to teach to sit still for 30 minutes continuously, even if it's absolutely driving the child insane. And some of the children, it is actually having that effect on because they need to move. It's not just a matter of being children. It's the energy of them. They're highly charged little beings, and we ignore that.
Okay.
So look for something unconventional. That's what they're telling me about you.
Unconventional. Okay. I will do that. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Well, you are welcome. And the children that work with you are going to be so lucky. You're going to help them to grow and be who they are. And that's absolutely beautiful. So get busy. There's a lot of kids out there that need you.
I know. They do. They definitely do. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Thank you. You have a great day. Thank you.
You too. Thanks for calling.
You're welcome, Laura.
Bye-bye. So being who we are is most important. And I'm not talking about who we are physically. I'm not talking about how we look. I'm talking about our hearts. What does your heart desire that you do? Most people don't really check in with their hearts. And they listen to their minds. And they listen to their parents, their families, and their educators, and, you know, their ministers. And they go to all of these people and they say, you know, what am I supposed to do? Who am I supposed to be when I grow up? And the answers that they're giving are coming from the minds of the people that they're talking to. And those answers are based on the circumstances that have happened in the lives of the people that they're talking to. So the answers are actually very limited. Learning to live your passion, to be who you really want to be, to step in your own power. That's how you're going to find that fulfillment. That's where you're going to find that joy, the joy of being alive. When you allow yourself to be who you really are, who your heart calls out to be. Most of us are not meant to be in the regimented atmospheres that we see around us. That doesn't bring us the joy that we're looking for. So many people are just so unhappy. Every day when they go to work, they're unhappy. They don't like it. They don't feel it. But they do it because they think that this is how I make money and I have to make money to pay my bills. If I didn't have this job, I wouldn't have any money and I'd live on the street and blah, 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 blah. And we make up these stories. And yes, they are stories and we are the ones making them up. And then we decide that they're true and then we live them. So you are the one that created everything in your life. What happened if you were actually listening to your heart? If you were actually living your passion? And if that's something that you really want to start learning, to start investigating, to start opening up to, I'm going to start next Tuesday teaching a 6-week course on living your passion. So if you wanted to join that, you could. But even if you don't, start looking at what your heart is telling you. Look at what it is you really enjoy doing. What makes you smile? What brings you joy? Because that is what you should be doing. There's absolutely no reason why you can't do the things you love and still have enough money to do or buy or whatever it is you need. We are the ones who place limits on what we allow God to do for us. We really are the ones who place those limits. And my guidance is showing me that more and more and more. I mean, I didn't even realize how many limits I had around money in my life. I knew that there were some. Okay, I knew that there were a lot. But I didn't realize how deeply entrenched, how deeply rooted those beliefs were. And now I'm, you know, digging out those roots, removing that from my life. And the way that I feel in general is totally different. The way that I feel concerning money is totally different. The things that come up for me around money are totally different because I have let go of so much of that stuff from the past that was not serving me. It was not bringing me joy. It was not making my life better. It kept taking me down a path that I didn't want to go down, but I didn't think that I had a choice. And now I recognize that I do have a choice. And I'm changing my beliefs. And I'm on a different path. And this path is so much better. so much better. And that's why I do the work that I do, so that I can help others to find their own difference. They can start creating the life that they actually get to love. They actually get to wake up in the morning and look forward to the day. They get to enjoy being who they are. And part of that is recognizing that all of that stuff that you were taught was important, like your race and your age and your sex and your religion and what part of the country or the world you come from, all of that stuff that you were taught was important is not important at all. Because it's not. There are limitations built into all of those things. And if you buy into those limitations, then you get to live this wonderful little limited life. Well, you can just sit in the corner and be totally unhappy, but you know that you are living in your limitations. You are doing what society says is appropriate for you to do. If you want society to run your life, go ahead. Frankly, society's kind of screwed up, and I don't want my life to be determined by society. Now, it's taken me a long time to let go of those old beliefs, those old thought patterns that said, because I am a black woman in her 50s living in the state of Oklahoma, that I must be this, 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 and this, and these things are acceptable and these things are not. That was when I started looking at those beliefs, those restrictions, those expectations that other people had of me. And I began to see how ridiculous it was that I began to let it go. I think that was one of the reasons why my guidance had me joining these various social sites, you know, where you get to meet people. And I would talk with these men who were societally correct for me. You know, they were the right race, the right age, blah, 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 blah. And their beliefs were just like, oh my gosh, you actually expect me to be like that? Because that was what they believed. That was what they had been born and taught to believe. And I refused. I completely and totally refused to live in the little box that they thought I should live in. And at the same time, I was totally refusing to look outside of the little box. So I was really creating a situation where there was no winning, because I refused to be what other people expected me to be, and I refused to open up and become who I was. So that's probably why it took me so long, because I was single for... I was single and celibate for over 8 years before I entered a relationship. And the relationship I'm in now is not anything like what I expected. But it is right for me. So I've come a long way. And everybody is given opportunities to see what does not work for them. And like I said, that's why all of this stuff is coming up now about racism and shootings and all of this stuff. It's so we can look at it, so we can see what does not work. So when you look at your life and you see the things that are... that are not fitting, but just quite right. It's there for you to look at. It's there for you to make a decision about whether or not you want to continue with what doesn't feel quite right, or if you're ready to let it go, so you can find what feels like you. So race is just a limitation that we have developed to keep people in their little boxes. We do that with age. We do that with sex. We do that with education. We do that with nationalities. We do it with religions. We do it with likes and dislikes and neighborhoods and cars and every single thing that is out there. Our brains take it and put it into categories. And when your brain is putting things into categories, it's putting it in its own little box. And it might decide, okay, because that person over there looks that particular way, that means that they must live in that neighborhood and that you cannot associate with them because they have nothing to offer you. That is not someone that you want to have any dealings with. And your brain does make those determinations based on how someone looks. You do it all the time. You do it with everybody that you see. And if you don't believe me, go out, look at some people. See what pops into your mind when you look at them, because your brain starts the conversation as soon as you see someone. Most of that conversation we don't pay attention to, but we are still having that conversation in our heads. And it's when we start acknowledging the fact that, yes, my brain is having this conversation, and we start listening and deciding whether or not that is actually true, whether or not that is actually what we want, whether or not we want to categorize everybody, put them in a little box. What would happen if you saw someone who was purple? Purple is not the normal color for people. If you saw someone who was purple for a second, you'd have to think about what you were going to categorize that purple person is being. They may decide that there's some strange little football fan who got lost on their way to the stadium and they were painted purple because it's, you know, tailgating time or whatever. You may decide, well, it's close to Halloween. Obviously, they're in costume. Your brain is going to come up with these conversations about that person until it finds a box that it can put them in. Because that's how our brains make us safe. That's how our brains protect us. Because then we know what to expect. We know that the people in this box over here, you need to stay away from because they're dangerous. You need to stay away from these people in this box over here because their ideals are not something that we really want to have anything to do with. It's okay for you to associate with these people in this box over here because they're safe. They're kind of crazy, but they're safe. Yes, you can associate with these people over here in this box, but they're not going to want to associate with you because in their minds, you're over here in this do not associate with box. So don't even bother going over there because they will not accept you. That's what we decide. That's what we see. That's what our brains create. All the time, about everybody out there. So when you start coming from the truth of who you are, that unconditional love, then you've got to take everybody out of the boxes. Because boxes are conditions. And if you are going to be unconditional, they need to come out of the box. You need to start seeing the beauty in each and every one of them. Means you need to see the beauty in you. You need to love yourself. When we truly, unconditionally love ourselves, it changes everything. Because we have to get rid of all the boxes. Because then we can see that there is some good in everyone. No matter what we've been taught about them, no matter what society says about them. Because that essence of love is there. It's there in everyone. No matter what they've done, it is there. And when we are looking for and connecting with that essence, opening up, we're opening up our eyes, opening up our hearts, opening up our lives. And we are living in an expanded state of being. And that gives us freedom. And freedom is wonderful. I've told you many times before that I realize now that what I really want out of life is love and freedom. Those are my big purposes, my underlying drive for everything that I do and everything that I create. It's about love and freedom. What's your underlying drive? What is it that you really want to experience? If you look deep within yourself, within your heart, within your own understanding, so that you can find that underlying drive, you'll find that in everybody there is something there. And that something there has to do with some way of being of service, of living that love. Even the most horrendous people who say that they don't care about anybody, that there is no purpose to life, that nothing has any meaning, they still have that underlying drive that they are ignoring. And it could be that they've come to be this horrendous person that says nobody has any purpose, so that they can realize that they have a purpose. Look for your purpose. Look for your passion. And start allowing yourself to live it. There are so many people who will talk to me and tell me, you know, that they realize that their life is not really what they want. They really want to change it. And, of course, I will offer them the same free 20-minute discovery session that I offer to everybody. And they'll say, yeah, that sounds really great. I really want to do that. And I'll say, okay, go to my website. Set it up. And they don't do it. And every time I talk to them, they'll say, yeah, I really want to do that. But they don't do it. It's all about choices. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with any of these people. They are choosing their lives in every moment, and I fully respect that. And if they choose to stay exactly as they are, that's fine with me. That is their choice. I don't own them. I don't control them. I simply offer to assist them. And if they accept the assistance, then we start working on it. If they don't accept the assistance, then they stay exactly as they are, or get worse or better, or whatever it is chosen to do. Because there's not just one way. I'm not the only person who can help them. I know that. But when you choose to make a change and you receive the inspired actions, you actually have to do something. God's not going to do it all. You are going to get choices. And if you choose to ignore those choices, that is the action that you are choosing to take. Because even by ignoring, you are making a choice. You are taking an action. The action is to ignore. So it comes down to you. It comes down to the choices that you're making, who you are being, what you are open to. You can sit and listen to everybody on Blog Talk every day for eons. And different people will present you with different options, different opportunities, different challenges. And with each one of those, you get to make a choice. And if your choice is just to sit there and continue to listen, then you really can't blame anybody for the fact that your life doesn't get any better because you are choosing to stay the same. That is your choice. And what's important in your life is whatever you have chosen to make important in your life. So if you find that your life is focused on race and that other people of other races just don't seem to get you, they don't understand you, they don't like you, whatever it is that you've decided about those other people, that is all based on your choice because you are attracting into your life what you believe. And if you believe that people look down upon you because of the color of your skin, then you are always attracting to you the people who look down on you because of the color of your skin. Because we always attract what proves our beliefs to be true. Okay, they want me to say that again so that you can really get it. We always attract what is going to prove our beliefs to be true. Now, this is not saying that what you believe is true in the broad sense that everybody agrees with what you believe, because they don't. But what you believe is what you have decided is the truth for whatever reason. And that reason usually is that you've heard it over and 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 over again. And when you hear something that often, your brain finally says, okay, this must be true. I keep hearing it. And it becomes a belief. And that's it. That's all it takes to form a belief. Just that repetition. So if you want to change your beliefs, you know, start listening to something that is saying what it is that you actually want to experience. If you want to believe that everyone of every race gets along, start listening to that. Start hearing that over and over and over and over. And you will find you are attracting into your life people of different races who get along. Because then that will be your new belief. It really is about what we are creating. It really is. And we have a hard time accepting that and believing that. We really want to believe that it's something outside of us, that it's something that's been predetermined, that this is the way life has to be. And that is never true. And you will always experience what you believe. And then there are some times when it doesn't seem that you're experiencing anything. You think you know what you believe, but it's not happening. And in those cases, there's always something that you believe that you don't consciously allow yourself to see. And everybody does that. When we have things that happen to us in our lives, it could be something that was traumatic that happened when you were a little kid. And so you took that and you buried it. And that little inner child in you decided that you don't need to know what that is, because not knowing keeps you safe. And so you grow up and you're going about your life and you just can't figure out why you keep choosing the same kind of people to be in your life when these are not the kind of people that you want to have in your life. And look at your beliefs and you can see that you believe that it should be better people, that they should be, you know, people filled with joy and laughter and light and all of this other stuff that you want, but that's not what seems to be attracted to you. That's a clear indication that you have some beliefs that for whatever reason, you're not allowing yourself to be aware of. It could be a belief that you have that says that you are not worthy. You're not good enough to want to have anything to do with. And in order for you to not be hurt, your inner child is protecting you from this belief. But this belief is still there. It's still having an impact on your life. Looking at your life tells you so much about what you believe. It can help you to start see the things that are hidden within you, the things that you believe that you just don't allow yourself to see. The answers are always there. God never, ever denies you the right to know the answers to the questions that you ask. You are always given the answers. And when we don't see the answers that are being given to us, it's because there's some part of us that is protecting us from that. And sometimes you have to have help to see what's there. And there's nothing wrong with that. Absolutely nothing wrong with that. This is your life. These are your choices. So you get to choose whether or not you want to be limited by your beliefs, or if you want to see your beliefs so that you can let go of the things that no longer fit who you are choosing to be. And that's your choice. So start looking at your life. Start looking at your beliefs. Start creating what you truly desire, because you're not stuck with anything ever. You really aren't. And it's moving past that old belief that you are stuck or whatever that belief is, and accepting yourself, accepting your love, accepting your beauty, accepting your wonder, accepting your abundance, your love, your joy, your life. Oh, so many people just don't accept their own lives. You can change that anytime you want to. Change does not have to be difficult. It does not have to be time consuming. It can be very fast, very easy. Depends on what you believe. So now you get to look at your beliefs. Now you get to create the life that you truly desire, the life that you get to love, if that's something you choose to do. And if you want to be miserable, then of course that's your choice too. Whatever you want is okay. Whatever you create is okay. Because in the grand scheme of things, it really is okay. It's just your experience. That's all it is. It's just your experience. So what are you going to create today? So think about that. And I will be back on Friday, and Elizabeth will be with me. And Elizabeth is a beautiful, beautiful shining light in this world. And she does these incredible chants, which I absolutely love. And they also help you to break free of those old beliefs. So if you want to experience love and laughter, even if it's just for an hour and a half, then come and join me and Elizabeth on Friday. And meanwhile, take a look at your life. Take a look at your beliefs. Start writing those beliefs down. And start asking your guidance to show you how to make the changes that you want to make in your life. And if there's anything that I can do, send me an email at barbara.healing@gmail.com or check out my website, divinelyguidedhealing.com, and schedule your free 20-minute discovery session so we can start changing your life, changing your beliefs, and opening you up to love. And that's what makes life so wonderful. So thanks so much for listening. Sorry about the beginning where I was muted. I am learning. I hope everyone has a fabulous week. And I will talk to you on Friday. Thanks again. Bye-bye, everybody.